a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Here.
Gant.
Here.
Mr. Chair, there's a quorum.
We have a quorum present. The chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. All right. We have five bills up this morning, and we're just going to go right down the calendar. We will start with House Bill 1239. Let's back up for 2 seconds. We have some pages with us today. We have Elizabeth Volsky from Eureka. Welcome. And we have Paxton Backend? Bashand, wow. From Belle Fouche. Welcome. So moving right to our agenda, House Bill 1239 established certain procedures for counties to follow when requiring landowners to cut and remove grass, weeds, and brush from the road right-of-way. Proponents of 1239.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Justin Cronin, District 23. House Bill 1239 would establish the same authority for counties that are given to municipalities and townships as far as the requiring of landowners to mow the abutting land on the secondary road right-of-ways. Currently, the counties have the authority to require these folks to mow their ditches, but they have no teeth. If the people don't do it, there's really no recourse. And what this bill would do would allow the county, by ordinance, to require them to do so and then levy a special assessment. And then it could have been referred to the vote of the people in the county as well, which was something that we wanted to have in there. But due to a misfortunate mistake in one of the papers that covers our area, and it was corrected. I approached the gentleman, and the article was corrected, but the damage had already been done, and there's nothing but complete confusion amongst on my area on this issue. So we're going to respectfully ask this committee to table House Bill 1239. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponents of 1239. Further proponents. Seeing none, are there any opponents to 1239? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will move to committee action. Senator Teason?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will respect the prime sponsor of this bill and move to table.
Been moved and seconded to table 1239, non-debatable. We'll go right to voting. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Gillespie. Klocek.
Aye.
Miles.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there were 6 yeas, 1 excused.
1239 has been tabled. Up next, House Bill 1086. Permit certain municipalities to issue an additional off-sale alcoholic beverage license. Representative, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mike Vercio, District 30. This kind of started out as a constituent bill. I know that's the word of death that was brought to me by the city of New Underwood. And then as the word got out, it kind of picked up momentum. What this bill was brought about is in for instances when one person or one family or one company owns both liquor licenses in these small towns. What very often happens is one of those businesses is open extremely limited hours, usually the minimum 30 or 60 days required by the law right now. And what they're looking for in particular is the ability to have that third license that will be open a little bit longer, and everybody's pretty happy with 180 days, extending that to 180 days. This in no way changes how those laws liquor licenses are distributed. Still have to go through the public hearings, the background checks, everything that's on the books right now. And what it merely does is extend that time. Then if the person who has that license doesn't want to be open 180 days, the cities then have the opportunity to issue a third license that is completely irrevocable, that can be checked for, you know, every year. They can go back and apply for that license. It's not a temporary license. So there are some instances where cities could end up with, these small municipalities could end up with three liquor licenses instead of just the two that are there right now. The particular reason the New Underwood brought this was that both of the establishments that are, quote, liquor stores in their community are in downtown New Underwood. And I don't know if you've visited that beautiful city in my district, but it's quite a ways off the interstate to go downtown. And they have approached a gentleman who has a convenience store on the exit there who would be more than happy to put this in. Of course, they're looking for more revenue and better selection for their customers in town, their citizens. Neither one of the stores sells a variety of wine, which is kind of a big deal for them there now, and they want the opportunity to do that, plus make the additional revenue for the city. And that, very simply, is what this is all about. It's pretty short, you know, a couple paragraphs, and it's all done. So I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponents. House Bill 1086. Further proponents. Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1086? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will close that section and open up for committee questions and or action. Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Representative Virtue. Shouldn't be too early for me this morning, but I'm going to make sure that I'm catching on to this. Explain to me the situation in New Underwood that precipitated this, so I've got it clear, please. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
They have one person who owns both licenses. Okay. He has one liquor store that's open 30 days or 60 days a year right now. And the other one is open year-round. It has a very, very small selection. The one that's open year-round has like 14 different bottles of liquor and no wine. So what they're concerned about is their people are having to drive to Rapid City to purchase wine and other liquor products, and they have approached a businessman who has a very good location just off the interstate, and he would apply for the license and put in a full-service, full-line liquor store for them. Now, it doesn't preclude the other gentleman from saying, oh, okay, I'll be open 180 days. And if that happens, then they're very happy with that.
Senator?
Thank you. So this bill is really not predicated on the fact that the other two licenses are owned by the same person. That's not that's the case in this particular situation, but that's not a prerequisite for this bill.
You know, it's based on the timeline.
Yeah. Okay.
Further questions? Representative, I have one. So if we pass this legislation and the 180 days is there, and I'm one of the guys who's only open for 179 days out of the year, and we pass this, and the city then grants that third license, well, then I decide to be open an extra 2 days, so now I'm at 181, then the city will immediately revoke that other license?
No, sir. That would be needed. There would be three licenses. That other license.
But my business is now open 181 days a year.
If you do that voluntarily prior to them issuing the third license, you're fine. They're very happy with that. If it's 6 months later or 3 months later, that means there would be three licenses.
And that third license would then continue, because I'm assuming based off that last sentence, indefinitely.
Well, pending approval annually, like all licenses have to be, yeah. It still has to go through that entire process of all the vetting and the background checks. And
further questions? Senator.
I have to go back to that then if I can. So the fact that we currently have the one license that's not meeting this minimum day requirement could then forever in the future allow three licenses in New Underwood? I mean, is it so when next year comes and it comes time to renew these licenses, if we now have two licenses, the two original licenses that are meeting the day requirements, then is the third guy in or out?
And it can be reissued annually, just like any other liquor license.
And the price for that third license, same price as the first two?
That's set by the city, yeah, whatever they're.
Any further committee questions? Senator Miles.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to hear what the municipalities have to say about this. Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'll grant that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League, and we are in favor of this legislation and don't see any harm in it, I guess. And it's consistent with our pretty clear policies of always just wishing there were local control on these kinds of licenses.
Senator Bradford.
I have a question. I'm not too worried about New Underwood. I've got a great nephew that lives right next to New Underwood. I don't know, maybe he needs some wine. But what worries me is if we put this in statute, what's the effect on other communities and other liquor license?
Mr. Chairman? Well, the law would, of course, apply to any municipality, but the issues that come into play with on-sale licenses are very different from the ones with off-sale licenses. An off-sale licenses is $500, and in very few cases has that been driven up by the caps the way the on-sale values have. And so the off-sale licenses are not nearly as touchy. Most places aren't at their cap, I would say.
Go ahead.
Follow up. Well, aren't these licenses issued on a population basis?
Mr. Chairman, yes, they are. With off-sale license, I believe it's everybody gets two, and then you get another one for every 1,500 population or fraction thereof.
Okay. I don't know why I've been involved in some of these cases in small towns, and sometimes liquor becomes kind of a hammer or use something, especially if politics gets involved in license issuance. I mean, similar to what Senator Teason said, see, if this other liquor place stays open, then you're going to have three outfits operating.
Mr. Chairman,
Yvonne.
And our position always on the issue of the caps is that three are probably not going to survive. The market should determine what is available, and it will.
Thank you. We'll close questions and move to committee discussion or action. Senator?
Thank you. Well, I'll throw it out there and see if other committee members can help clarify it. I'm frankly a bit torn by this. I'm kind of call myself a local control guy, but I can't help but think that this is sort of a, and I don't mean it disrespectfully, but sort of a backdoor way to come up with a third license, have a situation that will forever then permit a third license, and it'll apply to some communities probably, but not to others. Again, maybe I should just take a step back and say I don't care if New Underwood has 15 licenses or 20 or 100. The market will dictate, but we do have laws in place, and it just doesn't seem quite right to me that this sort of special situation would sort of forever grant a third license, and that's the part I'm struggling with. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Bradford?
One thing, what bothers me is that I get a lot of mail on and contact on Bear Butte, and those licenses at Bear Butte are all temporary. I mean, they operate a very short period of time. And I guess right now this is within a municipality. I understand that. I mean, it's within the boundaries, evidently, of a town. But I wonder how it could change the scope of how licenses are done, period. So, but I'm going to be for this, and I'll make a motion to pass.
We have a do pass motion. Do we have a second? Hearing none, motion fails due to lack of a second. Are there further action on the bill? Senator? Eeny, meeny. The chair would entertain a motion for 41st legislative day. Well, you need to move it. I can't move it.
All right, I'm moving to 41st legislative day.
I have a motion, 41st day. Is there a second? Hearing none, that motion fails to receive a second. The chair will defer action on House Bill 1086 to our next meeting. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Moving on the calendar, House Bill 1095, permit local industrial development corporations to conduct bingo games and lotteries under certain conditions. Perfect timing, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Russell Olson, District 8, State Senator. I would expect that from the bill's title, you would expect me to start this off with, there was a farmer had a dog.
We would appreciate it.
But I'm not going to go any further than that. It is, you know, sometimes the bill title really doesn't do justice to the bill. And in my real life, I get the opportunity to work with 20 different communities in South Dakota as an outreach for community and economic development for Heartland, which is the energy company I work for. And in most of those communities, they don't have a full-time economic development professional, and I serve as that professional for their behalf. And we have actually a couple different communities that wanted to and still would like to have raffles, and not just, you know, the pie and go-kart type of raffles or painting raffles, but a larger scale, like you see out at Deadwood during the in Sturgis during the rally, where they raffle off actually a Harley Davidson or something like that. And they wanted to do a larger scale one that would actually help supplement their economic development efforts and marketing efforts. And their attorney, upon review of this, felt that the Industrial Development Corporation didn't or may not fall under the civic aspect of it. And that's why we bring this to you today. I would request that your favorable consideration for this bill, and I would obviously stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents, House Bill 1095.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Eldon Nygaard, District 17, and as Senator Olson just indicated, that particular community, one of which was interested in having this bill brought before you, is in Parker, South Dakota, and that lies in my district. This is economic development. The only thing that it adds is some clarification. If you'll notice on page one of a three-page bill, the only thing that is new to this law is, of course, the words, a local industrial development corporation as defined in section in chapter 514-23. So it is nothing more than giving a comfort zone, but I think across South Dakota, these small communities have had to, in the interest of economic development and staying alive, they've had to develop development companies that help foster growth and maintenance of their communities. And this is just one more tool in this tough economic time so that they can reach out and raise money without coming to government, without coming to the taxpayer, and just coming to their own communities and raising some funds. So I urge your support of this, and with that, I'll step down and stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative. Are there further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Julie Johnson. I have several lobbying badges in Pierre this year. One of them is for Prairie Vision, our regional development arm in northeast South Dakota. So in my rest of the year job, I do get to try to be of help to the rest of our region in terms of its economic development potential. So it is with that hat that I rise in support of 1095. When Senator Olson brought this issue, I scratched my head a little bit, and I was fairly sure I could remember that I'll bet a bunch of communities have done exactly this under the current law, only in this case they stumbled into some lawyers who said, I don't think you have that power. So I really think this is not granting new powers necessarily, but clarifying the law that local development corporations, as they are trying to raise money to do the important work of building their economy, may need this tool. And so with that clarification, I would simply ask your favorable consideration of 1095 and be available for any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further proponents, House Bill 1095.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. These entities are very much our partners in economic development, and if something is good for them, we're all for it. So thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1095? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will move to committee questions. Any questions? Seeing none, how about discussion and or action? Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm not sure that bingo is the very best form of economic development, but it's good enough for me. I'll move to pass.
Is there a second? Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Do pass. Any discussion? Seeing none. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Gillespie.
Aye.
Klocek. Miles.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there were 6 yeas, 1 excused.
Motion passes unanimous. Consent motion, is there a second? We have a second, Senator Schmidt. Those in favor of consent say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay?
No.
Bill will not go on to consent.
Chairman, members of the committee.
Now, we need to explain to Senator Olson that this does not give you the right to sing bingo on the House Senate floor. Moving on, House Bill 1128, an act to revise certain provisions concerning fire protection services provided through township funding. Welcome, Representative.
Thank you, and good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Diedrich. I represent District 21 that consists of Charles Mix, Brule, Buffalo, Lyman, and Jones counties. And I bring you House Bill 1128. When I discussed this in the House, it came up that I didn't do a very good job of explaining to people what a rural fire protection district is. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background there. When a rural fire protection district forms in the application, it has to state that it will establish the district, what the boundaries of the district will be, but they will equip and maintain a rural fire protection district. And of course, its number one purpose is to take care of fires within the district. Now, the powers of the directors are to determine a general fire protection program for the district, conduct the affairs, purchase or lease firefighting equipment, supplies, and other real or personal property that's needed, and then to organize, establish, equip, maintain, and supervise a fire department or a company to serve the district, or generally to perform all the acts necessary to fully carry out the purposes of this chapter, which is to fight fires. This legislation, this enabling legislation, comes from 1971. Well, this summer, after one of the people in the fire district of which I belong, one of the township people came in and said to the chief of our fire department, he says, I have to have a contract with you. And the chief says, a contract for what? He says, well, we have to have a fire protection contract. The law requires that I have to have a fire protection contract with you. He says, why do you need that? You're in our fire district. He says, well, that's what the law requires. And he goes, well, that must be a mistake. But he goes and looks it up, and as you can see, under 894, it's not a mistake at this particular point in time. It's that every civil township is supposed to enter into a contract for firefighting equipment and protection. So what this bill says is that if the township or a part of that township is in a fire, rural fire protection district, so that the purpose, you know, as I went through, the fire district is to fight fires, that the township no longer is mandated to have a contract with some entity to fight fires. It just seemed like it was kind of common sense. Now, the amendment also states, though, to Section 894, that if for some reason the township thinks that they need one, if they're doing something and they want to put one together, they can put together that particular contract. But it takes it out of the mandatory anymore, which I think saves money for every fire department and every township that's within a fire, rural fire protection district. But if there would be some reason to have one, then fine, go ahead and have one. And that's the end of my testimony.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Are there further proponents to House Bill 1128? Further proponents, 1128. Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1128? Any opponents to 1128? Seeing none, we will open it up to committee questions, action, discussion, anything the committee would like. I'm here to please. Any questions? Any action? Senator Gillespie. I have a do pass and a second. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, those in favor of House Bill 1128 will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Gillespie.
Aye.
Klocek. Miles.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Teason.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there were 6 yeas, 1 excused.
The motion passes 6-0. Further motions? Is there a second? I'm sorry? Is that a second? I hear a second. Those in favor of consent say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. It is on consent. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
Up next, we have House Bill 1149. Where's my title? An act to allow certain municipal interfund loans. Proponents, House Bill 1149.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the Municipal League. I hope my explanation is as long as the bill. This simply comes up because a pretty frequent practice is if a municipality has money in one fund, they will loan it to another fund and pay it back over time rather than going and getting a loan from a bank. Auditors, especially in small towns, have started to kind of ding them for doing that, saying they don't have specific legislative authority, and so this simply is asking for that legislative authority. And I would be happy to stand by for questions.
Thank you. You did introduce yourself, right?
I did.
Thank you. Further proponents, House Bill 1149. Seeing none, any opponents to House Bill 1149? Any opponents to 1149? Seeing none, we will move into questions. Any questions? Senator Miles.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. unrestricted cash. Any cap on that movement of funds?
Mr. Chairman, no, but this would all have to flow through a budget process, either through the regular budget ordinance or through a supplemental appropriation ordinance, and so there wouldn't be a cap. Unrestricted, though, would mean it couldn't be obligated to bonding or any other type of payment out of that fund. If it were, it could not be moved.
Senator Gillespie.
Yvonne, I just have a question just in terms of the loan process and the reversion process or payback process. In general, does the governing body have some specifics, and is there a time frame, or, you know, do we need some more detail here, or how in general is that being practiced?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, in general, when they do it, I believe especially our larger cities are drawing up an actual loan form and documenting it that way, and their payback time is whenever the funds are needed in the other area is going to be your time limit on that. The case that we have is the town of DeSmit has a city-owned hospital. They're saving up money for a project they need to do and are saving the money. In the meantime, they need money in another area and so simply want to borrow it from themselves, but they're going to need to pay it back because they are using the money for a specific point purpose in the other fund. So.
Further questions? Seeing none, discussion and or action?
Move do pass.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a do pass motion and a second on House Bill 1149. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, those in favor of House Bill 1149 will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Gillespie.
Aye.
Klocek. Miles.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there were 6 yeas, 1 excused.
House Bill 1149 passes unanimous, 6-0. Further action on this bill.
Move consent.
Is there a second? I have a second. Those in favor of consent will say aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The bill is on consent. Thank you. That concludes our business for the meeting. The chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. Thank you. We have a motion and a second to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.